sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 131, Dragged There by Their Girlfriends. Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress, styling. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy, Alabama, mama, Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make the Texas Bama. I like my baby hair with baby hair and afros. I like my Negro nose and with Jackson 5 nostrils. Earned all this money, but they never take the country out of me. I got hot sauce in my bag. Swag. I see it, I want it, on it. Dun, 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 dun. I grind till I, whatever, okay. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Before I start the show, let me welcome back all you returning listeners, and for you new listeners, heads up. I gotta give you a heads up and let you know that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. This ain't the podcast to complain about me being talking too much about black stuff. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is December 3rd, 2023, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. One more thing. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I said, fuck you too. Started a little thugged out. All right, okay. Yeah, okay, everything's done. Check, December 3rd, okay, check. Did I mention it's a Sunday? I'm recording on the Sabbath day, so brace yourself. We're all going to hell. Yeah, okay. Hey, like I said, for you new listeners, just to help you get situated, on this podcast, I like to break down my episodes into three parts. The first part is the introduction, which I'm doing right now. Second part is news and random thoughts. And last is final thoughts. In the introduction, I like to do shit like, play the theme, tell you the title of the episode, recite some poetry. Today's poetry was came from the great Beyonce Knowles, Beyonce Carter Knowles, Carter Dash Knowles, but whatever. And final thought, I will make sense of my choice of poetry and title selection. Also, in the introduction, I like to do shit like read out quotes. And I think I'm forgetting a birthday, but I'm gonna skip it. But quotes and thoughts. But this one, I got it from Dr. John Paul. Dr. John Paul, one of the co-hosts of the Black Fat Fam podcast. And they shared a tweet. They shared a tweet with a message that I appreciate, and it goes, "People don't realize how much strength it takes to pull your own self out of a dark place mentally. So if you've done that today or any day, I'm proud of you." It's true. Yeah, and it's easy to forget. Yeah, people don't realize, but it's also easy to forget about the work you put in to get out of dark places. Especially when you're surrounded by people who feel like they have a certain sense of have a certain sense of superiority over you. And what I mean by that, it's I say that to people who are unable to look at their own faults. That's what I mean. In my mind, my theory is you have a sense of superiority, especially if you're the kind to point out other people's faults or talk a lot about other people's faults, while being oblivious of your own. To me, that feels like, yeah, you have a sense of superiority. But, that's my way of perceiving the world. Not everyone agrees with it. Second quote goes, this is what I found on Instagram. And it's a thought from Conscious Vibration. And it goes, don't shame yourself into changing. Instead, love yourself into evolving. That's deep. That's very deep. I mean, easier said than done type of message. And last one goes, they don't like it when your authenticity is louder than their facade. Amen to that. All right. Okay. That's it. That's it. There are probably some other dates I'm forgetting. Yeah, sometimes I like to talk about dates worth remembering. Oh, yeah. Today's December 3rd. Tomorrow, I guess by the time this episode is being published, will be December 4th, and it will also be Jay-Z's birthday. Jay-Z's birthday, and also the death anniversary of Fred Hampton. Yes. Yeah, okay, that's it. Let's jump to news and random thoughts, and get the show going, all right? Y'all ready? You motherfuckers ready? Make some noise then. All right, let's go. All right. I'm drinking peppermint tea today. Oh. I have scone in the fridge. I mean, scone and whatever. And last night I dabbled with... See, I had this bad habit of going to the weed store and not paying attention to what the person selling me the product is telling me. Because I'm like, look, motherfucker, I'm just trying to get high. Anyways, I was looking for this pre-rolled blunt. And they had this one. And they used the word, the sales clerk used the word, it's infused weed. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, infused, there's something in there. Anyways, this lady was giving me a whole bunch of details. All I heard was, blueberry? Cool, let me buy it. And I smoked that whole motherfucker last night. Went to bed at, midnight? And got out of bed at 4. Now, I didn't sleep all the way through 4. It was more like, I woke up around 10:30 and I just did not want to get out of bed. Not depression or anything like that, but it just felt like a whole lot of... I just stayed in bed scrolling through social media and 4 o'clock, man. 4 o'clock, which is why you can't tell I'm recording late. And it is what it is. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying next time I will... I'm not complaining. It's... No mistakes, it's just heads up. Damn. C'est bon oui, c'est bon oui. But that's not, I'm not here to talk about news and random thoughts, not just to talk about my weed habits. It's to talk about, let's start with some news. All right, okay. Well, I'm just going to go in heartbreaking news. You know the chick who played, the lady who played, I don't know if you're like me, but I used to watch this TV show. I watched the whole thing, The Good Wife. And I really enjoyed that show, man. I really liked that main character. Her name was Giuliana Margulies. Anyway, yeah, Envy. I really liked her character, Alicia Florrick. I'm like, yo, you go, girl. Smart lawyer and all that shit. But then something happened this week. She did some shit this week to remind me that, hey, that's Alicia Florrick. I'm Giuliani Margulies. I am not at all like the character I play. I'm a mean person. Anyway, whatever. I'm a mean person. So Giuliani's in the headlines. It's been the news because she said some dumb shit. And then after she said some dumb shit, when it went for the apology, she made it worse. So I'm just going to read this article from The Hollywood Reporter. The title goes Giuliana Margulies. I'm probably fucking up her name, but I don't care. Horrified that podcast comment offended black LGBTQ communities. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The actress said those who were supporting Palestinians were brainwashed to hate Jews. You see what I mean? I've been talking about a lot about this in past episode about how a lot of the hatred or a lot of the opposition, folks from Israel or the Zionists, whatever these folks have against Palestine is all based on this notion that Palestinians aren't human beings. Like if I were to have, if people say that the conflict is complicated, I mean, what doesn't help the situation is one side dehumanizing the others. So anyway, her saying that, black people are brainwashed to hate Jews says a lot. You know what? I'm just going to play the article because I'm angry. I'm reacting off emotions. And I'm just going to, instead of giving you the details, let me just, this is me, my attempt to catch you up to those who don't know. And yes, this time I preloaded the article, and here's hoping that my reader won't fuck with me this time. Here we go. All right.
Giuliana Margulies horrified that podcast comments offended black LGBTQ communities. Mm. Share this article on Facebook.
Fuck it. Oh, my God. Sorry, gang. I accidentally clicked on a link, and oh my God, come on, man, cooperate with me, man. Cooperate. Oh, man.
Giuliana Margulies has spoken out following comments she made about black and LGBTQ supporters of Palestine, saying they were being brainwashed to hate Jews.
Okay. The Morning Show star.
The Morning Show star has released a statement that reads, "I am horrified by the fact that statements I made on a recent podcast offended the black and LGBTQIA+ communities I truly love and respect. I want to be 100% clear, racism, homophobia, sexism, or any prejudice against anyone's personal beliefs or identity are abhorrent to me, full stop." She continued, "Throughout my career, I have worked tirelessly to combat hate of all kind and anti-Semitism, speak out against terrorist groups like Hamas, and forge a united front against discrimination. I did not intend for my words to sow further division, for which I am sincerely apologetic." Related stories. Margulies' apology comes a day after controversial comments she made on a November 21st podcast resurfaced on social media Thursday.
Limit reached. What the fuck? Hold on, gang. Continue with premium mother.
In her interview on The Back Room with Andy Ostroy, the actress said, in her opinion, black and LGBTQ people were not supporting Israel when it retaliated against Palestinian terrorist group Hamas after the October 7th attacks. "I'm the first person to march for Black Lives Matter," she said. "When LGBTQ people are being attacked, I run. I made a commercial for same-sex marriages with my husband in 2012. Like, I am the first person to jump up when something is wrong, as I think most Jews are, because we have been persecuted from the beginning of time, not just World War II." Elsewhere in the podcast, The Good Wife actress slammed Hollywood for not supporting Israel. Can you imagine the guy not putting out a statement after George Floyd? She said. And yet when it was the Jews, by the way, all of our great material on television is pretty much from the Jews, like the fact they stayed silent until they were pressured. She also noted that she felt TikTok should be banned because she believes the anti-Israel sentiment among young people is due to the video platform, calling them crazy people. More from The Hollywood Reporter. Buckingham Palace considering legal action following.
All right, I don't know what's going on, gang. Sorry. All right. That boom, 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 boom. That was me playing that for her whack-ass apologies. And, yeah, man. Look, all I'm going to say, I'm just going to summarize. Like, there's, I can't add to her ignorance. Needless to say, I'm disappointed by her response, by her, by everything. I'm disappointed by everything. And this shit is just a big, this shit breaks my heart the same way when Kramer dropped the N-word during a comedy show. Broke my heart. Granted, the Kramer thing, I understand more than her. She's just an idiot. She's just, she is the opposite of, the character she plays on the TV show is smart. This character, oh my God, it was just awful, man. It's just, look, Gianna, look, her and people like her, man. It's like, look, we see the dead babies. We see the dead kids. That does not make us anti-Semitic or have hatred for the Jews. It's like, yeah, you were persecuted, but how the fuck are you doing persecution yourself? You know what? Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to get off of it. I'm filing this under heartbreak of the week, man. And this is why I choose to never fall in love again. You hear that? Okay? Because of shit like that. People disappoint you and break your heart. People ain't shit. All right, let me see if I can, now I know what's going on. Okay, sorry, gang. I completely forgot that. So what I did is, if you noticed last week, I was having problems with the stupid app, and I reinstalled it, and I forgot to log in, because I have an account with these people, so I have a premium package. So let me see how to log back into this motherfucker. Every episode, huh? Reader settings, scrolls. Where do I log in? Oh, account and billing. Log in. Oh, my God. You are logged in, motherfucker. Fuck you, pay me. All right, okay. All right, next article, gang, is titled, man, what is with these English names I can't read? Jeannie Mae appears, another heartbreak, potential heartbreak. Jeannie Mae appears to allege, Jeannie Mae is apparently young Jeezy's, or Jeezy, I think he goes by Jeezy now, his ex-wife. They're going for a divorce right now, and according to her, she claims that Jeezy wasn't part of the reason why she wasn't divorced is this nigga was unfaithful. And the reason why this breaks my heart is because in a past episode, I was talking about how I was proud of him, that he had a song about how real niggas don't cheat. And I really thought that he was on that, yo, I'm a faithful type of man, you know, or I respect the rules of monogamy. Anyways, I didn't read the article. I figured I'd read it with y'all. So here we go. Ready, set, go.
Jeannie Mae appears to allege Jeezy was unfaithful in response to divorce filing as rapper denies infidelity. Jeannie Mae Jenkins has appeared to respond after ex-husband Jeezy asked a judge for a court hearing to set legal and physical custody rights of their daughter. In new court documents filed in Fulton County, Georgia, on Thursday, and obtained by People on Friday, the former The Real Host, 44, is alleging that her former spouse, 46, was unfaithful during their marriage, further complicating their ongoing legal proceedings. After stating that she is entitled to a divorce from husband on the grounds that the marriage is irretrievably broken, and that she does not wish to specify herein at this time in the hope this matter can be resolved without having to disclose such conduct publicly, the television personality seemingly claims that cheating may have been a factor in their split.
Oh, may have.
Jeannie Mae Jenkins and Jeezy at Gold Gala. Stephanie Keenan Getty. Mae Jenkins states that she and the put-on rapper, born J. Wayne Jenkins, entered into a prenuptial agreement on March 26, 2021.
Right.
She adds that the court should enforce the terms of the prenup in the event that either party engages in sexual relations, an emotional relationship, or is emotionally or sexually suggestive in communication with a third party via all forms of electronic communication, including but not limited to texting, sexting, FaceTiming. Social media and/or direct messages shall result in a significant financial penalty upon the adulterous party as specified in said prenuptial agreement.
Oh, wow.
A rep for Jeezy denied her accusations, telling People, any claim of infidelity on Mr. Jenkins' behalf are 100% false and he has no further statements at this time. On Thursday, the Leave You Alone artist filed paperwork in Fulton County, Georgia, asking that a judge set clearly defined temporary legal and physical custody rights in regards to his and my Jenkins' daughter Mano Chow. He said both parties had agreed upon a visitation schedule through the end of 2023. However, the situation had become increasingly less feasible over time. The lack of consistency, continuity, and stability inherently associated with such a haphazard and fluid parenting time schedule is stressful to the child, Monaco, and it has, as is unfortunately inevitable with all families in transition, created unnecessary tension and confusion regarding not only parenting time, but also in regard to each parent's role and rights when the child is in their respective custody, the document read. Jeezy also accused my Jenkins of acting as a gatekeeper when it comes to him exercising parenting time with Monaco.
Boring.
The rapper filed for divorce in September after 2 years of marriage.
Oh, the rapper filed.
The decision to end this chapter in my life was not made impulsively and comes with a heavy heart, he shared in a statement in October. Despite this, my love and respect for Jeannie remains, and the time we spent together holds a cherished place in my heart.
Okay, you know what's funny, gang? The reason I'm reading this article, or it's like I was hoping to read something in there that would say, nah, Jeezy was faithful. It's not true. Chicken Manny is crazy. And everyone lived happily ever after. But nah, man, just sounds like two celebrities going over a divorce. And I guess it's going to be one of those things that in the end, I will never know. I will never know. All I'm saying is it's... I don't know if it's true. If it is, it's fucking disappointing. But then again, he won't be the first rapper to have disappointed, the first rapper husband or ex-husband to have disappointed me like that. Fucking, I remember when Nas got married to Kellis, he wrote a whole rap song about it, man, and about getting married. And I was so proud of the guy. I felt like the younger brother encouraging his older brother. It felt like an older relative getting married. And then I hear about the divorce and Kellis is talking about, yeah, this nigga was unfaithful. Like, come on, Nas. What the fuck? What the fuck? Look, I'm not here to preach to dudes about being faithful. What I am preaching about is don't fucking get married, man. Don't. Stop breaking my heart. That's really what it's all about me. It's really all about me. As a kid, everyone told me marriage was all this beautiful thing, and turns out it's bullshit. In other news, real quick, House of Dragons Season 2, the trailer's out, if you haven't seen it. Apparently, they're expecting a summer release for it. I guess this means they're done recording. Is that what it means? Well, anyway, whatever. So if you're into House of the Dragons, that's good news for you. All right, gang. This is, okay, now I'm going to go into thoughts here. Thoughts, even though it's reflection over news and things, but I'm going to start with this one. I said, there's a tweet that I had put out earlier on, and I will explain what inspired that tweet. It goes, contrary to some might think, yes, people... People think I'm outspoken, but the truth is, contrary to what some might think, I hate being a shit disturber. If I'm ever in a situation where I'm disturbing the peace, trust me when I tell you, it's only because something inside me told me I needed to. The reason this crossed my mind was because, and there's a picture of Jon Snow. Doesn't matter. The reason this thought crossed my mind is someone else I follow on Twitter. Her name is Nick Jew. And she's a co-host of a podcast called What's the Tea? And but she had posted something. Every once in a while, she'll post something, and it's like, has me thinking, or I'll trigger something, or a memory. And in this particular case, she was talking about how, I'm going to summarize it, but essentially this whole culture, this whole habit of pressuring people to drink. You're in a circle, group of people. Here, I was watching this movie, this this new TV series on Netflix. Doesn't matter, but everyone's used to the group of friends that come together at a bar, and it's party time, let's start drinking. And then there's the one person who doesn't want to drink, and they're like, come on, man, stop being a fucking bitch, you know, or stop being so boring. Like, it's what's the word, cliche? It's a cultural thing. To me, it's high school bullshit. It's like, we're a group of people, we're in a bar, we're going to drink, and the one person saying that I want to drink, I feel like it's a habit. It's part of the culture to be like, it's not enough to drink. It's also part of the culture is getting everyone else to drink. Now, I've been guilty of doing that myself, being the guy who's like, come on, man, get your balls out your purse, or whatever, or something, doing something, saying something stupid, basically pushing the person to drink. And she was speaking about it, and she was talking about like how it's annoying, how she hates being in a position where she's in a situation where she can't drink because of her meds. And she hates having to explain to people, hey, I can't drink because of my meds. And people need, like, the only way people will allow you to get out from drinking, will stop annoying you, is if you give them a reason. Oh, I'm 2 weeks sober. Oh, shit, okay, I guess not. Or I'm Muslim. Or I'm this religion. Or blah, blah, blah. Like, it should just be, in an ideal world, actually with some good people, it should just be as soon as the person says, no, I don't want to drink, end period, stop. Okay, that's cool. I'll join you along. But again, I've been guilty of pressuring people to drink, like the culture. But I remember this one time, it really, where I started to, like, I started to think that that's a shitty thing to do to someone. Is I was at a group of coworkers, of course, at a Christmas party. And it was this one particular asshole, there was something weird about it. I think he might have been an alcoholic, but he wanted everyone else to drink. And then he was doing the pushy things and using words like put on your big boy pants and everything. Now, I guess I must have gave in. And what bothered me is when I noticed that there was this younger kid who was with us. And I'm not sure if he was Muslim, but I remember he started with, yeah, I don't drink. And then he had a drink that night, right? It's not the end of the world, but what did bother me is it reminded me of how I grew up with, I should have known better. I grew up with Muslim friends who didn't drink, and it ended there. And God bless them, they were always the designated driver. But that sight, like, fucked with me. It bothered me. And, oh my God. Where I'm going with this is, thinking about that, I was also thinking of both, not just when I've pushed people, but also never pushed back against people who were like, hey, come on, drink, man, drink with us. Like, play it along. Either I'd be like, nah, like, felt the need to make excuses for myself. Nah, I can't, blood pressure. As opposed to just, no, back off. I told you once. Like putting on this I remember... The fact that I've never done that just reminded me how I don't like being the shit disturber. I don't like being that person who's like, I'm going to stand up for, or the person who just doesn't get along with everyone else. The stick in the mud. I hate it. There's something about that notion, but I get it. Sometimes you have to, man. Sometimes you need to. Like I said, yeah, I don't like being a shit disturber. But I'm realizing for some people, just by existence, I'm being a shit disturber. And I refuse to allow these people bothered by my existence, because I don't bother anyone, right? Except for shitty people. I don't intentionally bother people. The people I do bother have it coming. Yeah, man. I'm just thinking about how I think I used to have this belief that my sole purpose on earth is to fit in. And I'm 48 and I'm like, fuck that, man. I'm like, there's got to be more to life than trying to conform to everyone else's needs. Anyway, that's all I meant to say, man. It's just contrary to people. Yeah, I don't like being a shit disturber, but if I have to, I have to. Freedom or death, man. I have to get all that freedom or death shit. All right, okay. What else do I got? Okay, this is interesting. I think I talked about... I'm going to play this, right? And it's from a podcast called... It's from a podcast called Houston... What? Houston Poor Horseman Pod. Oh, Poor Horseman Pod? That's interesting. Houston Poor Horseman Pod. Oh, that's an interesting title. Anyway, they just had a take about the lawsuit against P. Diddy by KC against P. Diddy. And I just thought it was very interesting and worth sharing. So here we go. Here we go. Anytime now, buddy. Okay. It's a TikTok clip and it's not loading. It's loading. Oh my God. Refresh. Okay, I'm going to throw this computer out the mini PC out the window. I rebooted. I think I did. Here we go. And,
her attorneys were really brilliant. They didn't sue just Diddy. They sued his corporations.
They sure did.
And they sued his corporations and sued as her, in her capacity as an employee. When you do that, it triggers commercial liability insurance.
Yeah.
And it triggers another policy called directors and officers. Okay. And we know he's a director.
Correct.
Of these companies as the CEO. So now you got two policies. What happens then is it takes away Puffy's ability to settle. It's not his choice no more.
So it's no longer personal accountability. It's his organization.
It's his organization. And it's no different than like if you hit somebody with your car.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have State Farm. Mm-hmm. State Farm gets to decide to settle, not you. You could say, I didn't run the stop sign. That's not true. They're lying. If State Farm says, we don't care. We did our investigation. We're settling. That's it. That's what happened here. So because they added those claims, the corporate insurance carrier got to say, read over and say, oh, hell no, we're giving her the money.
We're hearing you. Diddy's public reputation is done.
It's done.
Mm. Yeah.
And if he wants to be able to leave anything to his children, he needs to walk away from all of these corporations.
Damn, he can no longer be the head of his corporations.
Well, remember, didn't I say directors and officers liability?
Yeah.
More than likely, what will happen is those insurance companies, they have the ability to say, we won't renew your policy if he continues to be a director or officer.
I think what I like about this clip is, about this take is how, you know, I'm thinking about how I naively believed everything I was told in hip-hop. Like, Diddy made it sound like I can't be touched. His lyric, I mean, I guess he's a rapper. You got to exaggerate that shit. But rapper, producer, CEO, and am I fascinated at how KC outsmarted him, or is it the fact that watching The Bigger They Fall, it's being reminded that the bigger they fall, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And one thing is for sure, I think P. Diddy got kicked in the nuts after that lawsuit by KC. And, I'm not blaming KC. I'm blaming P. Diddy. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Or anyone, any abuser, man. See, again, I remember I talked in the past episode is I don't know what to believe, but I do not want to believe that yet. I see, for me, it's more likely that Diddy did that shit, is the monster KC claimed he is. And it's interesting how quickly he folded. But I don't know. One thing is for sure, his public reputation is affected. There was times where I was trying to listen to a P. Diddy song, and I was like, I wonder if he did that shit. I can't stop thinking about it. Especially that song he did with, what's her name? I'm going to forget her name. It's called Last Night. I refuse to forget her name. Last Night, P. Diddy. And he lives, Keisha Cole's, Jesus Christ, yeah. And at the end of the song, he jokes about how he leaves a voicemail to say, hey, where you been? Where you look? I'm looking for you, man. Don't make me come in your house and blow up this shit and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, haha, I'm just kidding. Whatever. But but after this allegation, I'm hearing this in a completely different context. You know, it's one thing to brag about how you're a ruthless thug, and you know, no one fucks with you. That's one thing. But it's another thing for I'm a ruthless thug that who also beats his girl. That's not cool. Not cool. I think I get off the idolizing train or whatever. Yeah, you're no longer that cool rapper anymore. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is a short one, but I left it in the show notes as opposed to other links. And it's a cute little video, right, of the caption goes, difference between boys and girls. And it showed up on my Twitter timeline. And what's going is, it starts out with these two little... Holy cow. Yeah, sorry. It starts out with these two children, right? Boy and a girl. And the boy is, like, knocking on the door. And he's angry, right? And he loses patience, turns to the girl. And the girl just opens the door for him. And what I like about this image is, well, not just the innocence, but it's more, when he says the difference between boys and girls is how, in his mind, the means to an end is keep knocking. And if it doesn't work, keep knocking. And the girl just goes, and she just opens the door. I feel it's a beautiful analogy about men and women. And it's a reminder of the notion of, you know what? I am willing to let women run the world. And or feminine nature run the world. What this image of these cute children, it reminded me of what I've been trying to say about war, genocide, violence. Now, I am not trying to be, I mean, I guess there's no way to not sound like a hippie, like a peace freak hippie, but it's just an idea I wish I could plant in our leaders, or this is a hope that our next level of consciousness, we rise to a level of consciousness where we start to realize the ineffectiveness of violence. See, when I think about the conflict between, literally, when I break it down, the conflict between Palestine and Israel, I mean, if there was a way, to convince these leaders to, again, I know I'm dreaming. I know how ridiculous how I'm sounding. This is just me dreaming. It's my goddamn podcast. I could do that shit, right? But the only point that I'm saying is, violence is a means to an end. But I'm saying, what if there was an alternative? Would you take it? I wish people would take it. So you think about the conflict between Israel and Palestine, for me, the biggest issue in there is the violence. It's the genocide. It's the, hey, we're going to dehumanize these Palestinians and then commit war. Now, the thing is, I'm sure there are people on the Palestinian side. I don't want to talk about it, but yes, I am sure on the Palestinian side who are like, yeah, fuck that. Fuck this peace shit. If I get an opportunity, I'm killing these motherfuckers for what they did to me. I'm sure they're, because violence is like if you look at violence like an epidemic, right? Violence is like, it's plagued in that region. It's gone back through too much history. Like, fuck. I won't be surprised if these two are past the point of, yeah, let's make peace. Because I could picture myself being in that situation and being like, yeah, fuck peace. Peace is when they all die. being at that position. And I guess that's what I think that's the part I feel like I understood what Martin Luther King was trying to accomplish with nonviolence. Cause violence serves as a distractor. It's yeah, no, I get it, man. In eye for an eye, in the world of eye for an eye, we all go blind. Yes. But when the take, like I said earlier, right? Take Jeezy's wedding, marriage, his divorce. Sorry, it's a cool thing. It's being settled in court. I mean, it's an ugly divorce. I don't deny that. But imagine a world where divorce were handled via violence. It's like, okay, I want the children, so my army is like my boys are like in front of your house and at your mama's house. So I take the kids or you lose your mama. You know what I mean? Make your decision. You see what I'm just saying? War's not the answer. I know. I feel weird saying this shit, but it's like I'm wishing we could get to a point where we're like, okay, yo, this violent shit is not working out. There's got to be a better way to accomplish, to get what we want. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet as a species. I'm acknowledging that. We're not there as a species. All I can do is wish. All right. Okay. What else do I got? Okay. I am going to play this clip. Is that the last one? Yeah. Okay. Why I disagree with this lady's views on parenting. Okay. So I guess this is called the Big House, Big Home podcast. And this lady is about to share her take on single mothers. This is a woman explaining this, right? And here we go. Then I'll explain why I disagree, strongly disagree with this woman. But here we go.
It statistically a fact. Single mothers, we produce the worst product, right? Part of that, when we talk about males, especially black males, we don't realize that we're programmed, because if you don't understand history, you won't realize that, like, it starts with the female. Even when we were slaves, the idea is if you program the mind of the female slave, she will raise the offspring to continue your agenda without you having to be physically involved. She will teach her children to abide, because we're the first givers of life and care when kids are small. So we train them up to be good slaves, follow these particular rules. We indoctrinate and, you know, create certain philosophies in their mind. So by the time they're big and strong, they still following behind the same agenda that was placed into us. So when you look at males that come from single mother-headed households, if you don't get around positive male role models, you have the emotional management skills of a woman.
Mm. Break that down.
She's so talking shit. All of your upbringing, shit. 17, 18 years, you've only seen a woman head the household. You've only seen how a woman problem solves. You've only seen how a female, i.e. your mother, handles things. You've only seen how she deals with anger, guilt, you know, shame, different feelings. You're only watching it from her. Now, she ain't telling you act like me, but she telling you act like me because this is she's programming. This is psychology. Yeah. Statistically a fact.
Sorry, that dun, 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 was me saying, yeah, I really hate what she just said. One, okay, let me start with, I should write this shit down, but I'm going off the cuff. Okay, first things first is, she sounds a lot like those Hotep brothers who, like, on surface, what they say sounds like she talks like someone who's being intelligent, but it's more, but what she's saying is stupid. It's ignorant. It's really not based it's like, okay, it's biblical logic. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, if you read the Bible, I mean, there's certain parts I'll be like, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, God created the hurt, but it's her shit is, yeah, no, it's she's not smart. I would not respect her as a smart person. I would not respect her as a scholar. I would not take her seriously. This feels like I watched a lot of videos on YouTube type of shit. Or I listened to my pastor. My pastor told me this shit. Or I listened to another idiot and I'm selling it to you. And the reason I was thinking about this is because, okay, not because I'm reacting to this, is because earlier on I was thinking about how, despite the fact that I grew up with a mother and a father, I felt like there was a disconnect between me and my dad when it came to figuring things out about myself. Now, I think my dad subscribed to the notion of this is how men behave and this is how I should, you know, and I'm trying to aspire to be, this is how men behave and this is how I need to aspire myself. And he passed that on to us. And what he didn't realize, I don't think he learned it either, right? But there was a disconnect in the sense that it's the belief that someone else can tell you who you are. Yeah. The cult of masculinity, I think, fucked things up between me and my dad. Because I think we were both trying, like him, I was trying to aspire to be a man, behave like a man, walk like a man, everything like that. Even if there were certain things that, yeah, that's not you. You're not the tough guy. You're not the, you know. It's it's aspire to be something you can't be. What I'm getting at is, I think a single mother who teaches their kids to discover themselves can do a lot more than two parents who ascribe to this notion that men are men, women are women, men behave this way, women behave that way, men can do this, women can do that. Nah, fuck that, man. I figured out that we're all individuals. We're all unique in that way. Maybe some of you could live up to the standard or feel comfortable living up to the standard of masculinity that society has ascribed to you. I think it's bullshit, but that's another story. Maybe some of you have convinced yourself. I really believe that we were all meant to be on this earth. We were all placed on this earth to figure out who we are and our uniqueness. Work with that uniqueness. Yeah. So I was thinking about how the disconnect between my dad, me and my dad, when it came to me growing up into being my a better version of myself, my best self, my real self. Because he didn't understand that. He didn't subscribe to yourself. No, he believed that. No, man, we're wicked people because we ate the apple, because Adam ate the apple. It's our nature to not be our nature, to defy our, you know, it's not... It's repressing who you really are. And I went on a different path. Well, before I went on a different path, I remember because I felt like I wasn't getting the information I wanted from my dad, so I turned to rap music, to machos, rap music, into movies to tell me who I'm supposed to be. And all it did was fucking murdered my self-esteem, was hurt my self-esteem. So honestly, yeah, I hate this lady and people who think like her, man. It's we'll never get along. I was having a conversation with a female friend. And I was saying, do you as a woman, when you look to a man, do you, in terms of things you need from a man, is physical security one of them? And she thought it was a weird concept. It was a weird belief, and it was a weird thing to ask. And I guess she was unaware that there are some women out there, when they look to a partner, one of the requirements for that partner is make them feel safe, even if they're abusive people. Yeah, and sorry, I remember reading that as one woman, she was talking about, yeah, I need to be with a man who can make me feel safe. And I'm like, and I was thinking about, old me felt so insecure because I was like, oh, I don't know how to fight. New me, or this version of me is like, yeah, okay, I am not the guy for you. Because I'm the man in the house and I provide security. I mean, you know. I would date a woman who knew how to shoot a gun. You bring the security. Anyway, I'm just saying, yeah, I hate these whole conversations about men behave like this, women behave like this. Mothers should do this, fathers should do this. But fathers, you know, sons should do this. Yeah, I never worked. Again, I grew up in a church environment, and that shit did not work out for me, man. It just, All it did was create resentment. Anyway, what she said pissed me off more than I realized. It's only after putting out these thoughts that I realized that, yeah, what she says it just bothered me. All right, gang. Is that it? Yeah, I was going to jump on hustle culture, but I'm going to leave that. Okay, so, yeah. So everything else that I didn't mention, just go in the, there's a section in the show notes for this website. There's a section in the show notes called Other Links, and these are other links that I shared that I saved during the week or since the last episode. Yeah, during the week, and instead of covering it, I'm leaving it for your own reading pleasure. Right? Okay. All right, with that said, let's jump to final thoughts, and the rest of you get to go home after this, okay? You ready? Y'all ready? All right, let's go. All right, okay. Final thoughts is what y'all really came here for. That's what I'm telling myself. Okay, what's up with the title? Okay. Before I go with the titles, I need to say shout out to the Beehive. You know what I did during the week? On Thursday, my homegirl invited me to, one of my homegirls, she had an extra ticket to see the Beyoncé Renaissance movie or documentary. Is it a movie or a documentary? Anyways, on Thursday, I thought it was being released next week, but whatever. She had tickets, and I won't lie, man. At first, I was like, I don't know. No, at first, I was like, fuck no, I'm not going, hell no. Because it was in Gatineau. Gatineau is kind of, because I live, it's on the other side of the bridge. It's kind of far, right? And two, I don't know, I guess for some reason, I forgot that I lived in the National Capital Region. And for some reason, I expected it to be a full, I used to go to movies on opening nights and didn't mind the whole lining up and all that stuff. But for some reason, I expected this shit to be packed and I completely forgot that I lived in the NCR. But anyway, long story short, I managed to convince myself to, actually, the Holy Spirit kicked in and said, yo, fuck that, you're going to see that movie. And I went to see it, and I loved it. Now, before I continue and talk about my experience, the title of today's episode is just that I enjoyed myself at the showing, at the movie, and despite the fact that the sound could have been better, man, we should talk to AMC about this shit, right? And I remember the day after, I went to bed and the song Cuff It was playing in the back of my mind, was playing on repeat in my head. And I remember going to work. And I really, you know when you had a good experience the night before, you want to talk to someone? And I had to repress that shit. Like, there's no one I could talk to about it except online. Yeah, I really enjoyed the videos that are out there, like going around people dancing in the movie theaters. Yeah, we didn't do any dancing. Again, National Capital Region. But what really got me, the reason where this title was going is because the following day I went to the barbershop. And the thing about for me with the barbershop should not be it's kind of weird. Initially when I started going to the barbershop, it was that place where I could be my authentic self. But I didn't realize it was the place where I could be my authentic black self. But I'm realizing I can't be my authentic self. And this is where I'm going with this is, I remember going to the barbershop, and my barber was there, and there's another barber who was there, and it wasn't a lot of people. And I felt the need to push my luck. I'm like, look, these crackers, I had to repress the fact that I went to go see Beyonce's movie with these crackers. I refuse to do this at my barbershop. So I told him. The two barbers that were there, the two people that were there, and they were like, "Oh shit, it was this." They didn't know, they was oblivious that they was this week. But my barber said something in the end, and he said like, "Blah blah blah blah." I forget the comment. I think he said, "Did you notice? Were you the only guy there?" That's what he said. "Were you the only guy there?" And I was thinking about it. I didn't even pay attention. And I'm like, yeah, possibly. I mean, I just jumped in on the joke. I felt the need to defend myself. I said, yeah, I was probably the only hetero guy there. But yeah, whatever. And then he says, I forget the, but said something along the line of, because usually that's the kind of event girlfriends would drag their boyfriend to. Wait, what's the title that I use? Dragged there by the... That's the kind of event that the men, if men go there, they're dragged there by their girlfriends. And it didn't shock me. You know, I fake laugh. Ha, 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 yeah, you're right, whatever. I mean, I laughed. I mean, you know, joking and laugh. Because again, it's the barbershop. It's the locker room. It's testosterone. It's the core of the cult of masculinity. It's the cult. It's the church for the cult of masculinity. So I play along. Again, me not trying to be a shit disturber, so I ha, 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 laughed along, right? It's only when I left that it planted in my head. I'm like, man, fuck him. I mean, it's... No, you know, no, it's not that it... Okay, yeah, it bothered me, but it bothered me because it only reminded me how growing up, and especially in this particular city of Ottawa, I've always felt like the odd man out. I never expressed it. I've always played along, like for the people would just look at me and assume that, you know, like I didn't give people the impression that I had a problem with it. It's how I got the habit of always repressing my real self, my thoughts, because I'm trying not to stand out. Yeah, so when he said that, it reminded me that, all right. Beyonce is in that category of shit that if a man goes there, it's only because his girl forced him to go there. And I remember, it's funny how usually I'm aware of these kind of facts because I'm good at hiding at being a camouflage. But the reason I forgot is because I've been on the internet a lot, or I've been talking a lot to a lot of the podcasters I listen to or the people I interact with. Some of them are hetero males who would have attended, who did attend the Beyonce concert, not because they were dragged by their girlfriends or their wives or whatever, because they're actually fans of hers. And it also reminded me how when I was in that theater, so I happened to have gone there. My friend who was there, she happened to be a very, like, I had no idea. She had, like, she's a Beehive member. I felt like I was in her house. And I was her plus one. And because she was singing all the songs. Like, she was a fan of Beyonce, right? She was singing every song, word for word. I was shocked. I remember looking at her going, how the fuck do you know all these songs? And then I went, how the fuck do I not know these songs? And, yeah, so she was devoted to it. I realized part of the reasons why I went is because in that theater is that there was a happiness in there. Here's the real reason why I'm talking about this concert. Because in that moment, listening to my friend, she was all into it. And the people behind me, what they were singing to, I enjoyed this little moment of human happiness. Like, I was, like, in awe. Like, I guess the sensitivity in me was, like, absorbing, could sense that I was surrounded by happy people or people who were enjoying themselves. There's something about Beyonce's music and her fans. There's something about Beyonce and her fans. There's like a joy. Like they're really into it. It kills me that there's clips out there of people getting into fights. There's not a lot, but the people getting into fights at a Beyonce concert. I'm like, what the fuck? You must be toxic as fuck to pick a fight, to get into a fight at a Beyonce concert. But that's not the point. I remember just listening to my fans. She was all into it. And Beyonce was sending energy for a movie screen to her fans, and her fans were reciprocating it back. And I just enjoyed marveling, being engrossed in that. And I wrote this thought down because I found it interesting. It's because one moment I'm happy to see other people happy, and then another moment I want to see the world burn. I got two extremes. One day I'm like, hey, what a wonderful world. Like, is it Neil Armstrong? Not Neil Armstrong. I always fuck up the Armstrongs. Wonderful World Armstrong. Armstrong. Louis Armstrong. Neil is the astronaut. All right, okay. Yeah, Louis Armstrong. Yeah, that song when he sings, What a Wonderful World, that's just a moment of happiness in life. A brief moment of happiness in life, which is sometimes rare. Yeah. Some days I'm like, what a wonderful world. And some day, another days I'm like, burn this motherfucker down. Come on, God. Why, God? Why, God? Do I have to suffer? If there's no more, I want you to burn this motherfucker. You know? It was a moment to allow myself to be happy, to enjoy other people's happiness. I like, you know, Taylor Swift fans, whatever. I like when someone's favorite artist comes to town and everyone's happy. I like that. Or someone's hockey team, sports team won. I like that joy. What I don't like is motherfuckers who entertain, who take pleasure of other people's misery. Oh my God, a perfect example. So that You Will Break My Soul song by Beyonce, right? Powerful song. I was going to recite the lyrics. And then on my timeline, I saw a video of a bunch of Israelis showing her their flags. And it's like, you won't break my soul. And see, You Won't Break My Soul is about, you know, this world ain't going to fuck with me. But it these guys doing it destroyed it because they're like celebrating, they're like singing You Won't Break My Soul while murdering Palestinian children. You know what I mean? Like that's, oh my God, that's a kick in the nuts. That's what a way to ruin or way to kill a person's flow, man. Kill a person's buzz. But yeah, like I said, I enjoy when people are happy as long as their happiness isn't based on someone else's misery. Unless those miserable people are like, you know, slave owners or shitty people or like, you know, Andrew Tate. Yeah. But all this to say, yeah, I know I had a great time. I'm glad I went. I'm glad I managed to convince myself to go. There's a thought by, you know, I'm going to play it. Yeah. Just cause, yeah, I'm going to play it. When I say play it, I'm going to play this article. Not article, but this think piece by, what's funny is Dr. John Paul, I mentioned that name earlier, they're the one that I got a quote from, but Dr. John Paul, same Dr. John Paul, who is the co-host of the Black Fat Fan podcast, and they wrote a thought on BET, I didn't know they wrote for BET, they were a thought piece, and I thought it was interesting, man, and I am going to play it. And use that as a way to conclude, to summarize my thoughts on Beyonce's Renaissance movie. Look, man, it was just a movie. It was just, well, documentary. I can only imagine what the real energy must have been like at the concert. I'm like, wow, would have blown my mind. I don't think I could have handled being that close to the sun. But yeah, okay. So here we go. It's about to play.
A love letter to Beyonce. A declarative statement in celebration of her Renaissance World Tour and Renaissance, a film by Beyonce, opening worldwide on December 1st. Beyonce performs on stage during the Renaissance World Tour at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on May 30th, 2023.
Dear Beyonce,
it's been a minute since we saw you, and we just wanted to say how truly proud of you we are, not just for what you've done, but for what you continue to do. We didn't want to spend a lot of time gushing over your numerous accomplishments because, as you already know, you are indeed that girl. Instead, we've chosen to share the importance of the Renaissance World Tour for so many of us, especially this year. It may have been your ninth concert tour, but it felt like we were witnessing your artistry for the first time. From the moment you announced the tour on February 1st to the opening concert in Stockholm, Sweden, on May 10th until the end of the tour in Kansas City, Missouri, on October 1st. You gained more than just royalties. You created an entire movement that has economic, cultural, and personal impact. Some of us at BET were fortunate enough to see you in person.
Right.
I attended both your Las Vegas and your Houston shows, and each time, going to the Renaissance World Tour allowed me to be in community with old and new friends. Mm-hmm. Something you said at the end of the show hit home for me specifically, that you wanted to create a safe space for everyone to be themselves without judgment. Honestly, each time you mentioned it, I simply burst into tears.
Amen.
I identify as an openly proud black, fat, non-binary femme individual. Rarely do I ever get moments where I truly feel safe. Most days, I ask myself, how much emotional and mental capacity do I have to deal with the homophobia and transphobia that have taken up so much space in the world? What must I do to safeguard myself knowing that I will inevitably come across someone who will spew something anti-black?
Right.
Being me is a risk, but when I was at your show, all my fears disappeared, giving me the chance to do something I rarely get to do, simply exist without fear of retribution.
Right on.
Singing along to your catalog of songs, dancing in the venue, and watching people celebrate each other as their authentic selves right. are things that I will never forget. I saw people near and far unify over the unmute challenge. I will never forget what it felt like to be in a room and hear people get so excited when Blue Ivy joined you on stage. It was the way my section got so hyped up when we heard ballroom legend Kevin Jay-Z Prodigy's voiceover before formation. It was hearing people sing along to the words of T.S. Madison on Cozy. It was seeing people smile, sing, thrive, and revel together in joy. I didn't know how much I truly needed all of it this year. What you've done with Renaissance is deeper than just music. You reminded us of the legacy and memory of your Uncle Johnny, who, like others, left us too soon. You encouraged people, post-pandemic, to feel confident enough to splurge and travel to new places to see you. You made silver a staple color in our wardrobes. You let us unapologetically celebrate our blackness.
Right on.
You provided a safe space where many of us found a sense of belonging. Most of all, you delivered a universal blueprint for pure joy. To say I know Uncle Johnny is proud would be a true understatement. If you're wondering how your fans, and even the critics, will receive Renaissance, wonder no more. We are excited to witness your vision once again, and it comes at a time when we could use a dose of inspiration. You may not understand how this film will bring peace and joy to a world that keeps us bound in struggle. I am here to confirm that this is exactly what we need right now, especially for those who identify as Black LGBTQ+. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for allowing us to live in this moment. Thank you for contributing to the soundtrack of our lives. Thank you for unifying us as a community and as a culture. Thank you for honoring the ancestors and creating an experience I will always cherish and hold near and dear to my heart. Latest news.
The article ends with love and pure honey. Dr. John Paul, a BET contributing writer. And that was amazing. Okay, yeah, not bad, even though you skipped the Dear Beyonce part. No, it was an amazing thought. The reading this also reminded me how I remember being in that theater. And like I said, I was feeling that joy and I was feeling emotional, but I was also uncomfortable with the fact that I was emotional in public. Not oblivious, but... I was struggling with the fact that that discomfort mixed with, dude, you had a Beyonce show. You're with the Beehive. Out of all places to be yourself, it should be here. It's fucked up, man. How am I a hetero male, hetero black male, who still feels like he's got difficulty fitting in? Like, I'm unlikely to get killed for who I am, probably ridiculed. But that's my biggest. Some folks being themselves means risking death. And I'm over here worried. Someone might say, you know, might bitch about the fact that I went to see the Beyonce show, a show, and I wasn't dragged there by my girlfriend. it's something to work on. It's something to process. It's just, I think that's probably what the takeaway, aside from enjoying myself, the major takeaway is how there was a moment in there where I was uncomfortable with the fact that I was being emotional, uncomfortable with the fact that I was being myself, and worried about being judged. Maybe I should have sat in the back where I could see everyone. I don't have to worry. Yeah, I felt like I was on that stage too, on that screen. But anyways, all this to say, I'm going to end it with, I had a great time. Would I see it again? $27. Possibly. It was that good. It was if I did go again, it would have to be with a crowd that, you know, it was like, don't go there. This is not the theater to go in there and ask people to be quiet. Nah, man, motherfuckers will talk. Not just talk, we'll sing. We'll dance, we'll clap, we'll be like, and you'll spend a lot of time wishing you were in that audience at that concert. But it was great, man. It was great. Salute to the Beehive and the Queen herself and everyone who encourages people to be their authentic self. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Like I said, yeah, check out the other links, man. The last one is a funny one. Oh, there's only three links? Okay, yeah. First one is CTV News fired me after speaking up for Palestine. You know what? I'm not going to speak on it. You just read it for yourself. I mean, yeah, read it for yourself. Hustle culture. This brother has a great take on hustle culture. And Snoop Dogg's biggest fan gets pranked. Really funny. All right. Like I said, this concludes today's episode. If you want to holler at me, you can find me on these Twitter streets. With the handle @BBlizzak or @ShutUpPodcast. You can find me on these TikTok streets with the handle @B.Black. You can also find me on IG Threads @ShutUpPodcast. Maybe I should mix these two together. But my real stomping ground is my website, ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? ShutUpPodcast.com. A little louder for the people in the back. I said ShutUpPodcast.com. That's my stomping ground. That's the streets that I live on. All right. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. Bon mes amis, thank you for listening. And from the bottom of my heart, and no, I really mean it when I say be kind to your favorite podcast. Okay? All right. Peace.
I am your king now!